For those of you who are new to Burning Bush, we welcome you. And I wanted to explain the badges that some of us are wearing. One of the things that we're really concerned about here is we want everyone here to feel safe. And so the people who are wearing badges are people who can pray for you. And we pray in teams. We do not pray one-on-one. So if you are feeling like you need prayer, you go to one of the prayer ministers with a badge, and they will partner with someone else to pray. For those of you who want to become a prayer minister here, we do have training on Saturdays at 1 o'clock. And what Sue does is she waits on the Lord, and she gives badges to those who God tells her to. Sometimes it's not any of us who are in leadership. Sometimes it's people who are in the training themselves and wanting to be part of the prayer ministry. So, you know, here at Burning Bush, we want to do what God wants. We don't want to do what our flesh wants or what we think our flesh wants. And so I just wanted anyone who was new here to know that and know that here you can be protected when you get prayer, because that's an important thing. Let's pray, please. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for being able to worship and praise you. We thank you that we can draw close to your heart and feel your spirit pour out onto us. When your spirit pours over us, we become pliable. We become moldable, and we're open to hearing what you have to say to us. I thank you for revelation, Lord, and I thank you that you are willing to show up here and be with us. What I share today, Lord, I want it to be only what you want. I don't want it to be anything that's in me. So please, Lord, anoint the words. Have them be what you want the people to hear. Use whatever is said, Lord, in your spirit to penetrate to the deepest parts of us, because we want to change. We don't want to stay how we are. I want less of me and more of you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. We're going to look at Deuteronomy 30. Cecil, could you read that for me, please?
Deuteronomy chapter 30. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if your heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
Thank you. Let's look at verse 1. It says, And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee. Whatever's happening in our life, it's happening for a purpose. It's for God's purpose, and it's for our benefit. You know, I really like the blessings that God gives me, and I think, whoo, that's great. I love that. But the curses that come into my life, am I really happy with those? No, not usually. And I usually fight against them, and I usually complain, and am disagreeable, and I want to blame other people. But where I want to be is that I'm able to see that he has set this before me for a purpose, to get stuff out of me, to grind me down. Someone gave me the analogy the other day of, we are like a hard rock with lots of, was that you? Was it lot with lots of jagged points, and God just washes over us until we become smooth stones. And I like that. I want to be a smooth stone. And so I know that for myself, I want to be able to look at all things that happen in my life as God's washing me, washing all the hardness out of me. No matter where I am, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. Wherever I am, it's very easy sometimes to come in here to church and be, oh, how are you? Things are fine. Oh, good. But then when we go home, you know, maybe our spouse isn't really pleasant to us, or our kids are misbehaving, or whatever reason, whatever's coming against us. We don't want to go to work the next day. It's a really hard job. We just don't really like it. Do we recall that it's for our purpose? What's going on? And what's it for? God wants us to obey his voice according to all that he commands us. And he says, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And I thought about that, and I thought, with thou. He mentioned me first, and then he mentioned my children. So I was thinking about that and thought to myself, so how can I expect my children to walk in the admonition of the Lord if I am not walking in the admonition of the Lord? If I yell at my kids, or I'm disrespectful to my husband or to other people. How many times have we done this on, you know, we're, okay, now how many times have I told you to do this? The phone rings, hello, how are you? Oh, yes, sure. Uh-huh, okay, goodbye, and hang up the phone. That is like total split personality there. That same spirit with which I answer the phone should also be meted out to my children, and to my husband, and to my family. And so I was taking that, and so I need to be obedient first before my children can be obedient. Because if they don't see me, how are they ever going to learn? I have to be the example. Verse 3, and then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee. Wherever we are, if we are resting in him, he will turn our captivity. It might not be right away. He might want us to walk that out for a bit. But he says right here, will turn thy captivity. It's a promise. He's going to do it. We just have to wait. And he will have compassion on us. He will gather us. Do you sometimes feel scattered in life with what's going on, with the many things that you do, or the many jobs that you have, or the people that are in your life? God promises that as you rely on him, he's going to bring you to himself. He's going to calm that. He's going to get rid of all that scattered stuff, and you can rest in his peace, in his peace. Verse 4, if any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven. Have you ever heard the expression running around like a chicken with your head cut off? Maybe the younger generation doesn't really understand that, but you just feel like you're being just like, oh, I just don't have enough time. I'm overwhelmed. I got too much going on. I can't, you know, I'm doing, going, and I don't ever seem to have time to just. And sometimes we take ourselves out of God's presence because we're so busy. We're so concentrated on what's going on in this realm that we're not really looking at this realm. But he says he will bring us back. And the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Fetch. I like that word. Think of God going to fetch you. He's going to go. He's going to get you. He's going to grab you. He's going to hold on to you. Verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land. He's going to bring you into what he wants you to be, where he wants you to be, which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. As we're obedient, he will bless us. You know, something I was thinking about as I was meditating on this verse, these verses, this whole chapter, he says here that he will bring us into the land which thy fathers possessed. What did my forefathers miss because they weren't obedient? I don't know what they missed. But he says, if I'm obedient, I can get that. He will reveal it to me and he will give it to me. And then I will be able, by my obedience, to pass that on to my children, to example that in front of them so they, too, can claim the promises that he gave my family. And he will do good to us. And he will multiply thee above thy fathers. You know, and I think about that. My kids will be greater than me. And I'm noticing this because my children have a solid foundation in Christ. And they're adults now, young adults. And they found their foundation way before I did. I found mine when I was 33 years old. They're 18 years old. Think about what they're going to be able to accomplish knowing the foundation of Jesus Christ and following him at the age of 18. Man, I just, isn't that awesome to think about that? So that is multiplied. That is greater than me. By 17 years. That's probably not accurate because 33, I don't do. There you go. Thank you. 15 years. There it's. Look at verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou may livest. He is going to cut us open. He is going to expose all the bad stuff that's inside of us, all the wickedness, all the sinfulness, even the stuff we might think is not too bad, but anything that keeps us out of his presence, he's going to expose that. Like someone shared with me, a friend said he wants to be in a fishbowl. I don't know if I want to be in a fishbowl. I do, but part of me is really scared to be in a fishbowl because then you open yourself up to a lot of what could be considered condemnation. You've got to really be in a secure place to be in a fishbowl. But that's what I want. And I thought about that today, and I thought, you know, I even want to be able to take not criticism. I don't want to call it criticism because it's not that. But even if my enemy comes to me and says, I see this in you and you need to blah, 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 I do not want to react immediately in offense, which I'm very good at doing. I can say, oh, what do you mean? Well, what about you? Have you ever looked at your stuff? Da, 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 da. I'm very good at that. I don't want that spirit in me. Even my enemy, when they come at me, I want to be able to say, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. I need to look at that. Is it in me? Is there something in me that I need to? Because He will tell me. If I'm really, really open and I'm really, really seeking, He will tell me. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. He's going to circumcise the heart of my kids. I love that. So what do I need to control it for? I have been in agreement with control. My kids can attest to that, that I have parented with control. Very harsh at times. Very boom, 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 boom. This is the way it is. Don't move outside of that box or you're really going to get it. And kind of judgmental. And right here, I did not ever see this before. Why do I need to parent like that? I don't need to parent like that because He says, what is He going to do? He is going to circumcise the heart of my seed, of my children. I did not get that earlier. Fortunately, I am able to redeem myself because I have a 6-year-old. So now with that new knowledge, I can raise him differently than I did my older children. But I have to go to my older children and I have to ask them to forgive me for not parenting them with the true Spirit of God all the time. By maybe giving lip service to serving God, but in my actions not really showing them the love of God. Because in all reality, yes, they are my children, but they mostly are my brothers and sisters in Christ. God gave them to me not to rule over as in, ooh, they're mine and I'm going to rule over them because I'm the mom, but because He needed to change stuff in me. And He knew that He only could do it through my kids. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. He does this so we can love Him with all of our heart, with nothing that is broken or He wants it complete. And with all our soul, with every part of who we are, so that we may live. How many in here, you don't have to raise your hand, but I just want you to ask your question, this question to yourself, have felt just, with life at times, just like you can't, like you don't have a joy, you don't have this contentment, this love of life. He says right here, He's going to expose every bad thing in us because He wants us to live. He wants us to have joy, contentment, peace, happiness, all of those things in life. That is what He wants us to have. But He's got to expose the stuff that keeps us from that. Verse 7, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. He has our back. He's got our front. He's got our sides. If we rely on Him, He's gonna protect us. He's going to take care of those enemies. We don't need to. Sometimes I know for me, and I don't know if other people feel this way, but sometimes I feel I have to be other people's Holy Spirit. And I need to show them or kind of get holier than thou about, oh, well, what does God say about that? And have you, this is what I see. This is what I think. Oh, well, maybe you're in agreement with this kind of a spirit, and that's not right for me to do unless God has told me to do it. If I do it in my flesh, then it's wrong. But if I'm doing it in God's spirit, if He tells me to confront someone, I need to do that. And sometimes it's hard to know the difference, but Sue has told us that if we don't want to go confront somebody, it's most likely God telling us to go do it. But how do we fight against that enemy? We need to be in continual prayer and obedience against the evil that is in the spiritual realm. And verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all commandments which I command thee this day. From wherever we are in life, it doesn't matter. God wants us to return to Him and obey Him and do. It's not something that we can just sit back and be complacent in. We have to be obedient. We have to do what He says to do. Sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable, like confronting somebody maybe who you really care about and you don't want to hurt and you're not really sure. Maybe, you know, if it's something you're supposed to do. It requires an action on our part. And God promises that He will make us plenteous in every work of thine hand. We're going to abound. We will have fruitfulness of the body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as He rejoiced over thy fathers. We will have an abundant life. We might not have a lot of stuff materially, but spiritually and relationally with people, we will have an abundant life. And that's what it's about. I want to get to the place in my life, like Smith Wigglesworth, I just love that guy. He did not want anything materially. I think he would have lived in a tent if God had said live in a tent. I would not live in a tent. My husband can attest to that because I will not go camping, but maybe the Lord wants to change that into me. I want to get to the place where I'm okay with losing stuff. I'm not there yet. I'm not there ready to lose my car, my house, and everything that I have. Yeah, you can have that. But I know He's going to work that out in me eventually. I don't know how, but I know He's going to get to the end of me so that He can shine through. Verse 10, if thou will hearken, I need to listen. I need to go like this. I need to be listening for God all the time. What are you saying, God? Hearken unto the voice of the Lord, thy God. Why? To keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn, okay?
Yeah.
That's it. If. He doesn't say you better turn now or you're going to be in big trouble. He says, if you turn, you have a choice whether you turn or not. How awesome is that? He gives us a choice. He doesn't demand it. If thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul, we will have that abundant life if we turn to God with everything, just laying down all that we have. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Nothing of God is mysterious if you're looking with spiritual eyes, with spiritual wisdom, if you're hearing with spiritual ears. Nothing. We were created in His image, and so therefore, our hearts already can connect with Him unless we're blocked by something. It says here, it is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do? We can have it. It's right there. We just have to reach for it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? It's not out of our reach. Some people think that they can't get it. They can't understand the things of God. But we can. It's not out of our reach because we're made in His image. If we're made in His image, as He moves the junk out of our lives, we will be more tuned in to His frequency. One of the things, as Tana was sharing as worshiping, God picking up those roses, one of the things that God has called me to, and I've shared this in other teachings that I've given, is that He's told me to stop watching movies and TV because I love them. I'm a visual learner, and I got pictures in my head. And as she was sharing that, I had this picture of these long, beautiful, deep red roses that God was just picking up. And He had this big bouquet. And I think that's why God told me to stop. He doesn't tell, you know, what He tells me, He doesn't tell everybody. But for me, I think that's why He wanted me to stop watching those and filling my head with all those pictures of the world, because He wanted to give me pictures out of here.
I couldn't have pictures out of here because my mind was so filled with the pictures of the world. But those roses were so deep and so red that it was just awesome as I was picturing that in my head. Verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. The word is close to us. It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. We're made in his image. So we've got the stuff. We've got it in us somewhere. We've just got to figure out where it is. We've got to let him get rid of everything that prevents us from locking into what he wants us to do, what his direction is for us. Verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. We have a choice. We can choose life and goodness, or we can choose death and evilness. We have a choice. Verse 16, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. That's a promise. He gives us a promise. We love him, we walk in his ways, and we keep his commandments, and he promises he is going to multiply. He's going to multiply. This is what the word keep in the Hebrew, what it means. It means to guard, watch, to watch over, preserve, guard from dangers. He's going to guard us from dangers. As we keep, as we watch over, as we observe. What I like is guard with fidelity. As we guard with fidelity the commandments he gives us, the truths that he gives us, we will live and we will multiply. We will have an abundance. The Lord thy God will bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Once something is revealed to us, we need to walk in truth. We need to choose the opposite of what is revealed. Let me give you what I'm... If he reveals to me that I sense my husband doesn't care about me, that's a lie. He's revealed that to me. Even though what I see says, oh, he doesn't care about me, I need to choose to believe differently that he truly, truly does care about me. I need to turn from that. What's the truth? He does love me. He loves God. So therefore, if he loves God, he loves me. So that's the truth. And I need to turn from that lie and walk in that truth. Why? So that I can eventually possess that truth in the deepest parts of who I am. Because I believe the lie because I'm insecure. It touches my insecurity. He maybe doesn't say hello to me when he walks in the house. The enemy says, oh, he doesn't care about you. See, he doesn't even acknowledge you. He'd rather go do this with da-da-da-da and not spend time with you. So the enemy's saying, see, he doesn't really care about you. You're not important. And I'm like, okay, so now I have a choice. Life, good. Death, evil. What am I going to do? Am I going to believe the life and the goodness that he does really, really care about me? Or am I going to believe the lie, the death and the evilness that he doesn't really care about me, see? And if I believe that lie, what am I going to do? I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to close my heart to him, and I'm going to turn from him. And I'm going to go, phew! And who's won? The devil. The enemy. So I need to believe the truth. If his heart is for God, and I know that, then I need to trust that God is going to change his behavior to be able to show the love. We're all guilty of that at times. I know that I'm guilty of that. I'm in my own little world of what I've got to accomplish, and I'm very businesslike, and people can sense that I don't really care about them. And that's why when we see stuff, we need to know, who's got it? God's really got it. We've got to trust him. We've got to trust him no matter what we think, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel. That's so hard to do sometimes, though, because I want to go into the land and I want to possess the truth, God's truth. Okay, verse 17, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Okay, so if I turn away, if my heart turns away from God's truth, I'm closed. I can't hear him. I go like this, la 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 la. I can't hear God. I can't hear what he's saying because I'm so close. And then I turn and I worship other gods. I immerse myself in television and in movies and just kind of fill my time with other stuff. And I serve them. I actually serve TV by sitting there hours after hours after hours watching it. You know what? When I was doing that and my husband said something to me about it when we were first married, I said, yeah, like, right, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. I just really like this. I find it entertaining. It's my downtime. I really, really like it. But the Lord, after a few years of listening to Tom say that, eventually the Lord started working on me.
There is a God.
There is. It was only when I was ready to hear God, though. He could tell me all day till he was blue in the face. You know, TV, you really need to get rid of that TV. It's just awful. It's not good for you. It's not good for the family. It's not good for the household. But until God pierced my heart about it, I wasn't open. I was so closed. And that's what we do. We see a lie and we turn and we think, oh, whatever. And we're closed to what even God wants to say to us. What's going to happen? Verse 18, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. He says, even if you're going over there and you're in Jordan, you're still going to perish and you're not going to have long life. When stuff is coming against you, do you feel like you just can't go another step? You just can't go. I don't want to perish. I want long life, and I want my days to be so full of God's goodness that I'm content no matter what's coming at me, no matter what's happening. He says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record. That means to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. He's given us a choice again. As I was driving here, well, I wasn't driving, Tom was driving, I was riding, and I was meditating on that verse. I'm thinking, I call heaven and earth to witness this day. The Bible says even the rocks can cry out. If God's people are not going to cry out, the rocks. And I watched as we went by trees, and I thought, the trees, when I am choosing to walk contrary to what God wants me to do, the very nature that God has created is witnessing my disobedience, and they are grieved. I saw a tree. I thought about that. The trees grieved because of my disobedience. They are created by God. The rocks cry out. God is in nature. It's a concept that just kind of, wow. Everybody's kind of looking at me with a blank face like, I don't think I really get that yet. I don't even know if I really get it yet. But I'm going to look at trees and I'm going to look at rocks a little differently now. And when I look at them, I'm going to be thinking about God. How many times have we just kind of gone about our day and kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a tree. Oh, yeah, there's rocks. There's these things. And just kind of like ignored God's beauty in those things. I know I have taken nature for granted. Just kind of, like it's just there, okay, but not really looked at it. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live, you and your kids may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. You notice how he keeps repeating things about length of days, life. It'll be a blessing to you and your children. He wants us to love God. He wants us to love Him and obey Him so that we can cleave to Him. And I thought, hold on to God for dear life. Like you're on a roller coaster and you're just holding on to Him because that's all you can do. That we may have life and have length of days. Turn to Isaiah 42. He says, behold my servant whom I uphold. That's to you. Each one of us is His servant and He upholds us. You are His chosen. We are His chosen. And He delights in us and He puts His Spirit upon us and in us. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. As I was meditating on these verses last week, that's who I am. That's who you are. We're his servant, his elect, who we delight him. We delight his soul. As Tana was saying about our worship, he's happy. He's dancing when we're worshiping him. Verse 2, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. We need to trust God for our defense. When persecution and trials or temptations come, I am not to defend myself. And I'm really good at defending myself. And that's one of the things that have been really difficult for me, for God to work out of me, is defending myself. I learned early that no one was going to defend me. And no one was going to take care of me. So I relied on myself. And I wouldn't trust people. Even those who said they loved me, I wouldn't trust them. And God says, I'm not to do that. I'm to look to Him. And I'm to trust Him and look at whatever's happening as an opportunity for the purging of my soul and my flesh. I ask myself, am I willing to lay down my life, my rights, for someone else? That's a hard thing to do. In my flesh, I am so quick to defend. God must be my defense. And I must allow him to remove the scales from my eyes so that I can see the truth of my sin. Why? When I was meditating on that, what came to my mind, it's because for Galatians 6, 14 through 18, it's not for my glory, but it's for God's glory. Everything that we do, every time we're obedient, every time we move, when he says move, it's so that his glory can be realized and other people can see God. It's not for us. That's one of the things Smith Wigglesworth said. You guys can tell I love Smith. He said that his desire is he did not want anybody to see him. He wanted people, when they looked at Smith, he wanted them to see God. And he said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I'm not really good at remembering word for word, but he said in this book I'm reading right now, that God told him, Wigglesworth, I'm going to burn everything of you out of you so that there is no Wigglesworth left, so that all people see your Jesus. And that's what Smith wanted. And why? Because it's God's glory. He wanted God's glory, not Smith's glory. Let's look at verse 6, Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. The Lord has called us in righteousness to be righteous and holy before him and before men. It is only through holding his hand will we be able to navigate the dark streets of the enemy's trickery. And he is sneaky. You know, when we get the big things, maybe like adultery or pornography or drugs or drinking. Those are like big, huge things. Whoa, like, and you can really see those. And when people move away from those, you can really see God's hand. What about the little things, you know, like the selfishness and the pride and the judgment and the self-pity? Those are the little things that sometimes we don't see as well. And that's what I think the enemy comes in really sneakily, is he uses those little things to get to us, because he knows we've already conquered the big things. So he's going to come in the other door and try to get us. But God will keep us in all situations, and we can trust him 100% completely to watch our backs. He will give us as a covenant, a promise of peace and righteousness to those in our circle of influence. I love that, a promise. I had a note here, but I don't know where it is. I might have left it on the table, about the definition of covenant, and I guess I wasn't supposed to share it. No, that's not it. It was a smaller piece. Maybe you guys are supposed to look that up. The definition of the word covenant. Go to, look up, if you got internet, look up Strong's Concordance and put in covenant, and then it'll bring up the word and it will give you the definition of what it means in Hebrew. Verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. It's in his spirit, my faithfulness, my obedience, my humbleness will open the eyes of the blind to release the prisoners in bondage and those who walk in spiritual darkness. Not only is he going to do that for me, but he's going to do that for other people. And he does the same thing with everyone. As we walk in obedience, those who watch us, who we don't even know are watching us, will be able to see God. And what's going to happen? Blinders might come off of their eyes. They might be set free from something. They might say, wow, they can do that. Well, if they can do that, if they can break agreement with that, maybe I can. Maybe I can. And they'll be able to see that God is real. Verse 8, okay, this tells us who is God. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. His glory cannot shine out brightly if there is junk inside of us. As we draw closer to him and we're obedient in all things he asks of us, submitting to his authority, the junk will be hauled away and removed, so no more light can shine on the darkness. You know, as I'm looking at this, and I think he's just really ingraining this into me about obedience. And that's because I've been it from the time, I'm sure, before I was out of the womb, I was in agreement with the spirit of rebellion and pride. And I know that in my life, I've been obedient in keeping the law, the Ten Commandments. I've been very, you know, I've done that. But there's so many other ways that I haven't been obedient. And he's wanting to get me to be obedient in everything. I got to be diligent. We need to be diligent and careful to keep the dark demon of pride from coming in. Because when we see the sin in others, the enemy is crouching nearby, ready to pounce if we open the door. If we look at other people and we say, oh, yes, that person is sinning, they're choosing whatever, and it's something that we have had an issue with, we've got to be really careful, because we can be in a spirit of judgment and we can be opening that door for the enemy to come back into our lives. Just because we break agreement doesn't mean that the enemy isn't sitting there waiting for us to just kind of crack the door open so that he can get right back in there. Because he knows if he can get right back into what you've given up, he's going to win. And he's going to cause dissension in relationships. To keep the door closed, I must be prayerful for the sinfulness that I see in other people, and I need to ask God to direct me in how to approach it. I need to ask Him, actually, the first thing I need to ask Him, He revealed to me, is that, ooh, God, is that in me? Oh, wow. Again, He might say to me, just pray about it, or confront the person. If I do what He says, the door to my soul is kept shut, and it will thwart the enemy's plan to get in there. If I deal with others in my flesh, then I fling that door wide open and say, put out the welcome sign, come on in, Satan, you can just take over. And he has free access to me, to my spiritual house. When that happens, I need to do some spiritual cleaning, spiritual house cleaning, I call it. I need to go to court, get a holy eviction notice. That's what God gave me. Got to evict Satan right out of there and allow the policing angels to remove the intruder. Amen. Last week, Sue shared about angels that were here at the prayer training on Saturday. And the word pictures that she was sharing, again, the word pictures in my head as she was sharing this fire engine, and as the people here were calling out names of their loved ones, the angels were getting on that fire engine, and then they released them, and that went to go start working in the lives of those loved ones that they called out the names for. And then angels started descending, and it was just really, really awesome. And so I thought of just, they're all around us. And she shared that they get excited when they're sent on assignment for God's people. You know, I have always had this little, you know, these little pictures of angels, and they're just kind of sitting there, like on clouds, you know, maybe just hanging out. I never thought of them being excited to go on assignment in my life. I never thought of that. But isn't that awesome to think about? That wherever each one of us goes, there are angels going with us. And they are excited. Think about excited, being excited. Oh, I just love it. What I had when I thought of a holy eviction notice, is I had these big two burly angels with holy badges serving this eviction notice on the demon of pride, and they escort him out of my spiritual house. I must get a spiritual PPO. People understand what a PPO is? Personal protection order. I must get a spiritual PPO by calling upon the name of Jesus and submitting to God. Submissive obedience is my spiritual PPO. Idols prevent His glory from shining through me. What is it in the depths of my spirit that I put ahead of God? Sometimes even the things of God can be put ahead of God. And the enemy loves that. He just loves it when we use the things of God and we put them ahead of God, and we just, like, work, do the works. If he can't get us through the world, he's going to get us through the noble works of Christianity, and we need to really be careful of that. Verse 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. He tells us right there that the former things, don't think about those things. The new things he's declaring, and he's going to give us what they are before they come to pass. What has been done before is past. It's happened. But he's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in the church. He's doing a new thing in us as his people. In each one of our lives, he declares that he's doing this for us. And he will tell us before the new thing happens. But if my spiritual ears are plugged, I will not hear. How many of you have kids, and when you've said something to your kids, they've done this? Just infuriates you as a parent. Yeah. How how do we do that as adults or as people who are walking with the Lord? When God says something, do we go and just not really hear what he's saying? What about this? Do we do this? Oh, Lord, I can't see what you're saying. Oh, I don't know. No, that's not you. No, I just can't see it, Lord. Just don't feel like it's you. No. How many of us do that? I want to hear the things of God. So I need to take my fingers out of my ear. I need to make sure there's no wax in there. They've got to be clear. And I want to see the things of God. I need to take the blinders off. And I need to be spiritually tuned to what God wants every moment of the day. It's hard to do. It's not easy. It is not easy. You get caught up in what you got to do, the radio's blaring, or, you know, honking, or, you know, people in the neighborhood, whatever happens in our life. And that's what we're doing. God is trying to train us to tune into his frequency, no matter where we are, to just keep turning like this, to just keep those hands on our ears so we can hear him. We need to ask the Lord, please, God, give us more spiritual awareness. Open our eyes and our ears so that we can be fully aware of the spiritual things, that we can see the battles and see the victories. We need to be able to see those. It is so easy sometimes when we're walking out, we just look at the world. We don't see what's actually going on in the spiritual realm. There are some people who can see that. And before, I didn't really want to see that. But now I do. And I'm asking God, I want to see the spiritual battle. Because when I can see the spiritual battle, then I know who's got the fight. If I can't see that spiritual battle, then I'm going to be trying to do it myself. But I want to see the spiritual battle. I challenge each of you today to go ahead and finish reading this chapter, because what God gives us in the rest of 42 is what we are to do, starting in verse 10, what we need to do, and then starting in verse 13, what is God going to do? I mean, I could go on and on and on, but it's 1 o'clock, and I know that I don't want to stand here for 3 hours. Because it's amazing. As we get more in tune with what God's doing, he just downloads and downloads and downloads. You know, one of the things, and I think I've shared this before, that I'm a preparer. I'm like, get all my ducks in a row because I need to do that. And I would not have ever stood up here before without well-typed notes to tell you. What God has been revealing to me is that usually he doesn't give me a message until that morning. And then I write the notes in my Bible. So I don't even have them written out. I just have little notes, like little bullets, to tell me. And the reason why he does that is because so I know it's him. It's not me. It's things that he's giving me. Because as I look at the little words, it's the thought that he is giving me that I share with you. Oh. So let's just pray. As you're listening to the music, just ask God to take the revelation that he gave you, because we're all at different places in our walk with him. Ask him, what was relevant for me today, God? And ask him to take that deeper with each note of the keys that you hear. Look at it as a penetration of his revelation into your soul. Lord, I just thank you for not leaving us where we were. Thank you for loving us enough to pursue us. Open our eyes. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Remove what is inside of us so that we are open. Wide open for what your Spirit wants to do in us. Humble us, Lord. Wash us, Lord, so that we can go into the inner sanctuary, into your presence, so that we can live there every moment. Thank you, Jesus. There is women's meeting tonight at 5:30. Pastor Glenn, are we dismissed or is there... Does anybody want to share anything?